1, 16, and 17. There were just so many things that come under the auspices of that scripture that it's been hard for me to get past that scripture, because it's a scripture that when Paul wrote it, he referred back to a long line. I think there's differences of opinion in the interpretation. A very long line of men and women down through the centuries through which the righteousness of God had been manifested in their lives by His presence and by His power, because they believed what God said. And so in Romans 1:16 through 17, what you literally have is a statement to the effect that the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith down through the ages, from the Garden of Eden to the present time. Paul in Romans 1:16 and 17 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," meaning literally to everyone, both Jew and Gentile, Greek, every human being. And in so saying this, he is not insinuating in any way that the gospel was something new that was introduced when Christ came. But there has always been the good news of Christ, a coming Messiah, a seed promised in the Garden of Eden, that men of all ages have had their faith either that the promise would come in the form of the promised one, or while the promised one was here that he was the promised one, or now that he's come and gone, that he was the one whom he claimed to be. And so the good news that Christ was going to come, the good news that he arrived, and the good news that he has come and gone is what the gospel is all about. He says, "For therein," that is in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." If we didn't have all these examples of God's dealing with men down through the ages, it would make it much more difficult for us to have faith. It would make it much more difficult for us to believe what the Lord says and to put our faith in Him. But all the way from Abel clean down to the people of today who are living for Christ and in whom the righteousness of Christ is being performed by them allowing Him to live His life in them, the gospel just keeps on being passed from faith to faith as it has in the past down through the ages. In Galatians 3:8, we're told about the gospel, the good news that Abraham had preached to him. Galatians 3:8, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith," knowing that one day a promised Messiah would come, "preached before it ever happened, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." That was the good news. But it didn't just start with Abraham. It was a continuation of a promise that God made in the Garden of Eden when He said He would provide a seed through the woman that would crush the head of the serpent and destroy its power, and He maintained the integrity of that seed and its promise all the way down through to Jesus Christ. So men have always been saved by faith in what God said, by believing what He said, by putting their faith and trust in what He spoke, or what He wrote, or what He delivered. Even as Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was accounted to him for righteousness, God says something. Man either has faith in what he says, or he doesn't. You cannot have your faith anywhere else except in God in order to be acceptable to God. You cannot have your faith in yourself. That is not acceptable to God. You must have your faith totally and completely in Him. And the way you do that is by believing what He said. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." If you believe that, then the Great Commission is very easy to follow. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he said just before he gave it that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him. You have to go on that premise. You have to learn to serve God based on the fact that he has the power. And you must learn to serve God not based on the results, but based on believing what he said and doing it. One thing I've had to learn in the ministry, there are times you've got to stand there with nobody but you and Jesus. You've got to learn to stand there with nobody but you and Jesus. And all the men down through the ages that ever amounted to a hill of beans, and all the women, were always put in a position where sooner or later they had to rely totally on the power of God, whether they liked it or not, and in every case he delivered them. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The system hasn't changed. He's given us all these examples of faith to faith. He's shown us his righteousness manifested in Abraham, manifested in Noah, manifested in all of them. Yes, they were at times controlled by their flesh. But in many instances, there is direct evidence that the only reason they could have performed or done something was totally by the power of God. And in those instances, it was demonstrated that God is just who he claimed to be, and that you can have full confidence in everything he says. That's what faith is. And he has given us all these examples that faith is believing that what he says is true and operating on what he says as though it was a reality and the absolute truth. When a man operates on it, he believes it. If he doesn't operate on it, he never believed it. Which way is God's way? The way of faith or the way of works? In the Garden of Eden, after Adam fell, Cain and Abel came to God and brought sacrifices. God accepted Abel's. He didn't accept Cain's. That initial incident has established two different forms of belief. And you may place anything called religion today in one of these two categories. The question is, which way is God's way? The way of faith or the way of works? In Hebrews 11, 1 through 4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Every single Old Testament saint that ever amounted to a hill of beans hoped for the things that God had promised. And for this reason, based on that hope, believing that what God had said would come to fruition and no longer just be hope, but reality, their faith that they demonstrated showed actual substance, something you could see, something you could sense. And you could see the righteousness of God being acted out in their lives based on the fact that they believed what God said. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Today we are still looking for that same city. And from faith to faith down through the ages, the lives of all of those Old Testament saints that served God gave direct evidence of the righteousness of God in their living, in their outlook, in their attitudes, and in their perspectives toward life itself, especially toward the kingdom of God. For by it the elders, all the Old Testament saints mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness from God. There is no better witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, because of his faith, is still alive in the promise that God made of the seed in the Garden of Eden. Now, Abel and Cain both knew what they were supposed to bring. This wasn't a chance thing. This wasn't something where Abel lucked out. This wasn't something where neither one had received any instruction. And just because Abel was basically a better person by birth, they both inherited a sin nature, and just because Abel was a good old boy from Yale County, and he had a better personality, and he was kinder, and he was more gentle by nature, he just happened to select the thing that God wanted. Oh, no. Both of them knew what they were supposed to bring. Both of them. You say, it doesn't say that in Scripture. Oh, yes, it does. And the problem was, Cain didn't want to bring what God wanted. It had to be brought by faith. God took the lives of animals to provide a skin covering for Adam and Eve when they tried to take the produce of the world and cover themselves with leaves. And God set an example before them where he took the lives of innocent animals, shedding of blood, to make a covering for the sin that their parents had committed and had passed on then to Cain and Abel. But God did more than that. He didn't just put those skins on them and say, well, I think they'll understand. He told them, and they knew what they were supposed to bring. The reason that Abel's was a more excellent sacrifice is because it was by faith. He had faith that what God had said he should bring was the thing that God wanted, and Cain decided he could bring something that would please God even more. And the sin was not believing when God said he wanted something, bringing something else. And that is exactly what all false religion is about today. Jude 11:8. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That is the first true, honest division that still exists today between all false religion and all true religion. The way of Cain, man's way. And the way of Abel, God's instructed way. And you can't do anything by faith unless it's done God's way. And God won't accept anything except what he says. And that's God's way. And that's God's plan. And that's God's rule. And as soon as man learns to accept that, then he can accept what God gives by faith. Genesis 4, 3 through 7. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain knew better than that. Cain knew the ground was cursed. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, I just think you don't know what you're talking about when you say that he did know. He had to know. And the reason I know that is because I believe what God's word says. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. It wasn't what God told them to bring. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. He brought a sacrifice that had required the shedding of innocent blood. And that was all that God would receive. And of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why? Because Abel was kinder, gentler, more merciful, had a more dynamic personality, cuddled up to God closer? No! Because Abel brought what God said to bring. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? There's a very important principle in all of this. Here are some of the first laws given by God. There are laws before this given by God. Directions, commandments, laws, whatever you want to call them. But I think it might help if we went back and looked at this before we go back to Cain and Abel. These are some of the very first laws given by God. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He said, you can eat of the tree of life. You can eat of any of them you want to eat. Must have been a bunch. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now listen to what God said. For in the day that thou eatest thou of, thou shalt surely die. God said, God said, God said, for in the day that thou eatest thou of, thou shalt surely die. Faith is based on believing what God said, because faith in a man's word is the ultimate element of all faith. And when you believe what God says, it shows you have confidence in Him, trust in Him, faith in Him. He said, thou shalt surely die. They did not have faith in what God said. Romans 14, 23. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Or whatsoever is not of faith is sin. They sinned. And it wasn't of faith. It wasn't of faith because they did not believe what God said. Genesis 3 and 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. They believed Satan, but they did not believe God. God said, thou shalt surely die, and they died spiritually. They died dead as a doornail spiritually. They had no spiritual connection with God whatsoever from the instant that they sinned. And they died spiritually. That's why every child that breaks a woman's womb, when they come to an age where they can either accept or reject God's plan of redemption, the saying is true, ye must be born again. That's why once we pass a certain age and we can either accept or reject the sacrifice that God has offered, we are held accountable before God, and we must be born again. It is a spiritual rebirth. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6, 63. And when you hear the word and you respond to the word as an ungodly sinner and trust in what God said He would do, when you put all your faith in the one sacrifice that God approved of, all in Christ, then God saves you. And that's what faith is. It's faith in what God says. 1 John 3 and 4. For sin is the transgression of the law. When God opens His mouth and says, this is what I want you to do, and you don't do it, that's sin. And it is man's basic nature to sin and to try to find another way. But Cain knew what he was supposed to bring. Make no mistake about it. Genesis 4 and 7. Notice what he said to Cain. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, sin is the transgression of the law. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I'm sorry if you don't agree, but I'll look you right straight in the eyeballs and I'll tell you, God would never have said that to Cain if Cain didn't know what he was supposed to bring. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? This wasn't a chance where God threw out a pair of dice and said, if you roll 5 sevens in a row, you'll be right. God had told him what to bring. And I know God had told him, because God always tells man what he wants and he told him, here. How do I know? In order to sin, Cain had to know what he was supposed to bring to put his faith in. How do I know? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God would never, never, never have condemned Cain if Cain came there in ignorance, hoping to bring the right thing, but had no idea what to bring. God had told them what they were supposed to bring, and he had even given them an example with the shedding of innocent blood, and Cain knew. You have a whole bunch of people that come and hear God's word. They know what they're supposed to do. They understand. They just don't want to do it. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That's God's word. Some of you have known the Lord a long time. Would the Lord tell a man to do something and say, if thou doest well, if he hadn't already told him what to do? Would God hold a man accountable in a totally depraved condition like Cain to do the right thing with no instruction? Cain knew. Abel knew. But there was something in Cain's basic nature, the stubbornness and the hardness of a sinful heart, that didn't want to do it God's way. But how did they know what to bring? Did the Lord tell them? Yes. How do I know they knew and what they were to place their faith? Because God has never let man ignorant as to what he's supposed to put his faith in. He always tells him, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God has always either spoken to them verbally, or through the prophets, or through angels, or through men. And today he speaks to us through his completed word. And Cain knew. Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cain knew that. God had told Adam and Eve. He knew the ground was cursed. Yet he brought produce from the ground. Sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Cain knew what God had done. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Back then they didn't have motion pictures. You know all that. They didn't have all this entertainment. Back there to them, they had to talk to each other. And don't tell me that Adam and Eve never talked to Cain and Abel, and they just sat around all the time and poked sticks into Adam. No. They knew. Those boys knew what had happened to their mother and their father. They knew their mother and father had tried to cover themselves over with fig leaves. They knew that animal skins were used as a covering. And I think God went much further than that. I think they both knew exactly they were supposed to bring a blood sacrifice, and Abel did, and Cain didn't. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Blood. His blood. That's all I've ever brought to the Lord. It's the only offering that I've got, because it's the only offering that God said he would accept. And I have nothing else to offer the Lord except the sacrifice of the only perfect man who ever lived, who loved me and shed that blood and gave his life for me. And yet most of the people outside of this building, most of them, that are trying to please God, are not trying to please God God's way. They're still following Cain's way. They've found ways to improve upon blood. Which way? Cain's or Abel's? One is God's way. The other is man's. One is by faith. The other by fancy. One is of grace, unmerited favor. The other of merit. One is of faith. The other of works. One is Christianity. The other is religion. A person who is following God's way is following the way that he gave Abel, and Abel followed it. It is by blood. It is by the blood of the sacrifice that God promised, and all those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament pictured the blood that would one day forever cleanse men of their sins and forever set them aside by the power of God in Christ. And that's why it's so important to go the right way. And the only right way is through the sacrificial blood, the offering, and the life of Christ. There is no other way. The one rests on what God has said. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree, you'll surely die. What did they do? They did not have faith in what God said. The other rests on what man thinks. Well, here's what I think. It's what God says. Because what God says is what God thinks. And that's why we must, as children of God, make an effort to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to the extent that we will not give place to the devil. One way rests on what God has said. Abel's way, God's way, a blood way. The other rests on what man thinks. The one rests on what Christ has done. The other rests on what man can do. These two words sum up and embody the two ways. One is dead wrong and the other is dead right. And these two words summarize it. Done and do. Jesus done it all. Man can't do nothing. Pardon my English. Salvation is based on what Jesus has done. It is not based on what man can do. And when you put all your faith in what Jesus has done and have no faith or confidence in yourself whatsoever to assist God in any way, then you know the same Savior that I know. Until you do that, you're just religious. As to what man is to do, there is no end to the variety. How would you ever know when you've done enough? As to what man is to do, there is no end to the variety. Some say you've got to be saved, then baptized. Some say you've got to be saved, then baptized, then speak in tongues. Some say you've got to be saved, baptized, speak in tongues, and be faithful in the church. There is no end to the variety of the do's because it's dependent on man. But there's only one work in God's way, the work that His Son performed. And how great it is to go to bed at night and know that I'm resting in the work and the faith and the life of Christ. And what a joy it is to know that I have no faith in myself either to preserve or keep myself, but I'm totally dependent upon the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. What a relief that is. It sets me free to work for the Lord. All who are in the way of Cain are laboring on behalf of man and for man's improvement. They think if they just grit their teeth and try hard enough, they can overcome the flesh. There's only one way you can deal with the flesh: a daily, direct, hardcore battle. And if you think when you go get old and get senile, it gets easier, it does not. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a daily battle. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to go through the day not giving place to the devil, continually alert for the and aware of his cunning, and learn to think one way, God's way. And if you've got enough scripture loaded in that cranium, and if you've studied the Bible, and if you've desired the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, you've got something you can ward off the fiery darts of the devil. You've got the Word of the God who saved you living there that you can go to and find strength and encouragement, and the instructions will allow you to fight the battle. Most people don't fight. They just live in the world, children of God, and they don't put up a fight. The fight is the victory. Christ won the victory at Calvary. Now we're down here fighting every day. Not for our salvation, but to give glory to God by the way that we live. They are ready with their own ideas as to what man must do to be saved. Whatever may be the varieties evolved from man's imagination, man must do something. Whatever their differences or controversies, they all agree in that. Man must do something. Hell is going to be filled with people who believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but they believed they had to do something in addition to please God. Jesus is the only man who ever pleased God sufficiently to be resurrected from the dead. And he is the firstlings among us. And it is through Christ that we have our righteousness and no other way. Man must, according to Cain's way, man must be something. You've got to belong to this. You've got to belong to that. Man must feel something. Do you feel it, brother? Man must experience something. Man must give something. Man must pay something. Man must commit something. Man must produce something. He must do something. Jesus did it all. All of it. It's done. And thank God for that, because now I don't have to fight the battle of whether I'm going to heaven or hell. The only battle I've got to fight is against that booger that continually wants me to go the other way and not serve God. I love the battle. At times it's depressing, but the fact that he brings me out of the depression, that makes it joyous and happy. It's a battle. A lot of people don't want a battle. They want a nice, convenient church where you don't get fed the truth about Christian living. They want to believe if they'll just do this and do that, they can find peace with God, find a compromise with the world, and you cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to serve one or the other. They only differ in what one must do to be saved. Think about all the churches meeting here tonight in this town, meet this morning. Think about what they say you have to do to be saved. They've got all these different requirements. That's the only thing they differ in. They're all following Cain's way. Oh, not all the churches in town. But a lot of them, they're following Cain's way. I tell you reverently, if Jesus didn't do it all, if it wasn't completed on the cross, then we are all doomed to the lake of fire. Praise God, he did it all. Praise God, he's alive. Praise God, he's my constant intercessor with the Father. Praise God, he's always there when I need him. In the area of religion, a person is either trusting in something instead of Christ, or in Christ and something else. Isn't it nice, Lisa, to know that you can't work your way to heaven? Isn't it a little bit of hell on this earth to try to keep on pleasing God and you never know if you've done enough? Isn't it marvelous to have a Savior that sets you free? It's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. But true religion is trusting wholly in the merits of that substitute whom God has provided. Even the precious blood of that lamb, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews 12, 24, 25, and to Jesus. That's God's way. Always has been God's way. From the time the seed was promised in the garden. From the time that Abel brought the first sacrifice, it was picturing the blood of Christ. It's always been God's way. The blood that stained that old rugged cross was the true blood. And all the other sprinklings of blood just led a path to it. And once that blood was shed, Abraham was forgiven. Isaac was forgiven. Jacob was forgiven. David was forgiven. Moses was forgiven. And everyone who had ever believed God's promise and believed what God said, they followed Abel's way. They believed what God said. Every one of them is in heaven, and every one of them is going to be there when we arrive, because our faith is in that same Jesus in whom their faith was placed as a promise of what God said. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What Abel offered up, was a sacrifice that pictured the true blood, just a shadow. But oh, when Christ came, it was the blood that cleansed us then from all unrighteousness. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. It's all in Jesus. It's all what he says. It's all in his word. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't change it. If you do, it's the way of Cain. Romans 1, 17, 18. Interesting thing. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's where we started. Therein is the gospel. For therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Well, tonight we've looked at it in the life of Abel. What did Abel do that was all that great? What great account do we have of his life where he did monstrous and wonderful things for the Lord? None. What do we have revealed in Abel? Just this simple thing. Abel knew what he was supposed to bring. He knew what God had said. So did Cain. Abel brought what God wanted, and Cain didn't. And so we start from faith to faith, and it works all the way down to the present time. They all came to God through the promise of a deliverer. All of them. And that's the way we come to God. Only now we have the word of the deliverer. He's come. Now we have a better testimony than they have. We have the completed word of God. I want you to notice something else is revealed in verse 18. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith in the lives of these men as you see God working in their lives. But look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Cain had the truth. I tell you, Cain had the truth. God had told them what to bring. I know he did. The judgment seat of Christ, if you see me get zapped, I'm just going to have to get zapped. But I know Cain knew. I know God had told him what to bring. And Cain didn't bring it. And he held the truth in unrighteousness. Today, this world is filled with millions of people who are deeply religious, who are holding the truth in unrighteousness because they tried to add to the cross, add to the blood, add to the life of Jesus. They try to add something to it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God won't allow that, because God has made something very clear. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 52 years ago, a very frightened 12-year-old boy who had tried so hard to please God. He had tried so hard Cain's way, tried so hard to please Jesus. And finally that night, sitting on the back seat of a church in Batesville, Arkansas, I finally believed what God said. I called out to Jesus Christ. That's his name. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. He's given a name that is above every name. And I asked Jesus to save me. You say, well, don't you have to do something to earn that? Uh-uh. I believe God's word. I believe it. And I ask, and God saved me. Because I believed God's word. Cain knew the right way. Abel knew the right way. Abel believed what God said. I believe what God said. And I came to God through Jesus and no one else. Cain's way. Something in my hand I bring. Abel's way. In my hand, no price I bring. There's two ways on this earth today, and only one of them is sufficient. I'd ask you tonight, tonight, right here. Where's your faith? Is it in Jesus and Him alone? And if your faith is in Jesus and Him alone, where's your life? And what are you doing with your life? And how are you serving the one who gave you such a marvelous, unmerited, unwarranted, unfavored gift? He died so you could be set free to make a choice as to whether or not you wanted to serve Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'll come trusting Him tonight, calling on Him to save you. He will. That's Abel's way, which is God's way. Believe what God said and claim the promise. Do it God's way. As Kay comes, as Kenneth comes, we're only going to have one stanza tonight. If you feel the need to come, I hope you'll come. What number, Kenneth?